Greetings to each one. It's a blessing again to be gathered into God's house, and I look forward to this time together tonight. Brother Luke said that we call it a council service. Our decrees for to keep speaks about what our council service is to be like. It says that the congregation shall be instructed to examine themselves before communion, to learn if they are at peace with God and their fellow men, and are willing to work in harmony with the decrees of the church. I don't know, when you think about council meeting, what goes through your mind and what you think about. Some people, I think, don't really care for council meeting because they know that it's looked to them to speak and share testimony. And tonight, it's a real privilege to gather in and share our testimonies. Tonight, as children of God, sons and daughters of the King, if we are at peace in our hearts, if we know that it is well with my soul tonight, it's a privilege to be able to share that and to share with others what God is doing in our hearts. So tonight it says that we're to be instructed to examine ourselves as we look at our own hearts tonight, and God be that potter and do his work in our hearts. And as I read that, I realized that it's my responsibility tonight to share the word and do that in a way that God would speak to our hearts. So I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. I'd like to see what Jesus says about some people tonight. Jesus talked a lot in the Gospels about a certain group of people that he worked so much among. And in Matthew chapter 7, I'd like to break in at verse 21, he talks about this group of people. And he says this about them. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Tonight we're aware that foundations are very, very important. If you know anything about building, I don't know a lot about building. I've never been in construction, never worked with that. But I know enough that in a building project, the foundation is very important. A good foundation gives a solid foundation for something that can endure time, can endure the storms of life, can endure the tests, can endure many things for many, many years. And if a foundation's not good, there's soon a lot of flaws in that which stands upon it. You see the result of a foundation that is not good. And so foundations are very important. But it's even more so tonight, I believe, is what Jesus is teaching us here. Jesus is telling us that there are There are apparently two kinds of people, is what he is saying. There are people who build on a good foundation, and there are people who are building on an inferior foundation, is what Jesus is saying. And so tonight, we know that tonight, as Christian people, we know that Christ is the only foundation to build on, the only good foundation, the only solid foundation. The songwriter says that on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And so tonight we know that Christ is the only foundation. We're convinced of that. We know that. But here Jesus begins in verse 21, and he has something to say about people who, well, who were these people? Who was Jesus talking to? He says that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And he says in verse 22 that many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? Who were these people that Jesus was talking about? We say, well, they were Jews. Yes, they were Jews, but isn't that kind of like just saying they were like Mennonites? When you talk about Mennonites, it's a very broad term. There is many, many kinds of Mennonites. In our communities, we work, we walk, we move among people who claim to be, a lot of them will say they're Mennonites. Some of them are very liberal Mennonites. Some are very conservative Mennonites. But they're all under the umbrella of Mennonites. And a lot of us have decided to kind of stay away from that term Mennonite because of the broadness of the term Mennonite. And so we would like to say, when someone asks what we represent, well, we're Christians. We're people who follow the Bible. We follow the teachings of Jesus. We like to, and I trust tonight that we are. So I come back to this question again, who were these people? We say that, well, they're Jews. We could also say they were religious people. Not, there's some indication here that apparently they were religious people, because it says that they knew something about the Lord. They were saying, Lord, Lord, have we not done thus and thus and thus? They thought that they knew God. But Jesus rebuked them, and he says, I'm going to tell you to depart, because I never knew you. I never knew you. Has the thought ever crossed your mind, or have you ever thought about the fact that all the time that you put into the Christian religion, all the time you put into, all the effort that you put into the life that you're living and trying to maintain a Christian life, that there's a possibility that someday you could find out that it was all a sham? It was all nothing? I've thought about that already, and I suppose that all of us have thought about that. I'm thankful tonight that we know that if we're doing the things that God, just like he says, that when we do the things, that we can have confidence that it's not all a sham, and that it's not all to no avail, as it were. We understand that. We know that, and I'm thankful for that tonight. But I like to think a little bit more about these people. You see, the Jews, I said that it's a little bit like being Mennonites, or it's a broad term. In fact, these Jews that Jesus was talking about, and we're going to look at them a little closer tonight, there was different groups of them. There was some very conservative ones. There was some that weren't as conservative. There was some they called Pharisees. They called them scribes. They were very religious people. They were people who were looked up to, people who claimed to know God, who claimed to do the things that God wanted them to do, that Jesus was asking them to do. And tonight, as I studied this and I pondered this, I came to the conclusion that those were the very people that Jesus was talking about here. The very strictest of the Jews, as it were. The very plainest, the very conservative, most conservative, the ones who claimed to have all the answers to everything, were the very ones that Jesus was denouncing and saying, "I never knew you. I never knew you." I think tonight, as we think about the as we go back to the thought of the foundations here, the fact that there's those that are building on one foundation in the Christian life, the Word of God is our foundation. It needs to be our foundation. And I'd like to say tonight that the more committed we are in obeying God's Word, the stronger we will be spiritually. And the stronger we are spiritually, the less likely we are to collapse. We're going to be a house on the rock instead of the house on the sand, I believe. And so, the Bible tells us that we're to be doers of the word, not hearers only. And I think that is exactly what was at the bottom of this discussion here with Jesus and the Jews. I like to look a little bit what Jesus had to say to some of these Jews, and to do that, let's go back to the 23rd chapter. The Pharisees, obviously, were not what they pretended to be. They had put on a very pious, a very sincere religious front, but Jesus had many things to say about it. Jesus saw into their hearts. And he saw into their lives. Their lives were transparent to him. Jesus knew what their motives were. He knew what was behind all this. And in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus has a number of things, and there's about seven things I'd like to look at in this chapter here tonight and draw some parallels for us. In verse 1, it tells us that then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees. Here he addresses these Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees, sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Notice that Jesus did say that what they bid you do, do and observe. But he said, don't do like they do. Do what they tell you to do. They were telling, they had the right gospel. They were saying the right things. They were telling the people to do the right things. But Jesus was saying, do that, but don't do like they do, because they don't even do what they're telling you to do, is what he's saying. And he goes on to explain some of this to them. He says in verse 4, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the marketplace, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all are brethren. And call no man your father upon earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called master, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Now we're going to cease reading there for a little bit. We see that Jesus told these men that their works were about themselves. I believe tonight that Jesus saw into their hearts, like I said. Their lives were open to him. What really was the problem with the Pharisees is a question I'd like to consider tonight. What really was Jesus condemning them for? And that's maybe not an easy question to answer, but one of the things that is obvious was their hypocrisy. The fact that they loved to be noticed, the fact that it was about themselves, the fact that they weren't willing to do what they wanted other people to do, and so on. In fact, in the rest of this chapter, and I'm not going to read all of the chapter, but there's a number of things that we want to look at tonight. Notice that in the rest of the chapter, there's about seven times where Jesus uses this expression, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees," verse 13, "hypocrites," verse 14, "but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," "but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees," in verse 15, we have it in verse 16 again, we have it over in verse 23, and in verse 25, and in verse 27 again, and each time he addresses a different thing that what they are doing. In verse 13, he calls them hypocrites, for he says, "For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them to go into." You see, well, just backing up a little bit, he talked about the fact in verse 4 that they placed burdens, unbearable burdens on others, but they weren't willing to get involved in the work themselves. In other words, they didn't really care about their fellow men, the relationships among each other. They were more concerned about themselves, and there was work, there was things that needed to be done, but give it to other people, let them do the work, was the attitude that was among them, I believe. And it says unbearable burdens. I should have took the time to study into what some of them unbearable burdens were, just to refresh my memory again, and I didn't. But it was apparently those kind of things that were real burdens to people. And probably it brought a lot of emotional stress into the lives of people as well. They placed them. The second thing that we see, it was in verse 5, he says, "But all their works they do to be seen of men." They did their good works not because they had it in their hearts to do good works, but because they wanted to be noticed. In fact, these scribes and Pharisees were a people who even their distinctive clothing was wore to identify them. They were identified by the plain garb that they wore. It says that they loved the seats of honor in the synagogues. They loved to be noticed in the streets. They wanted to be called rabbi. That was putting them up, as it were. And they loved that. In verse 13 and 14, verse 14, he says that they had no mercy on the unfortunate. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, ye shall receive the greater damnation." In other words, they were a people who, they were wealthy. They had plenty. They had everything they needed, but they weren't satisfied with what they had, and they took advantage of the poor people that were around them. The phrase, "ye devour widows' houses," has the meaning of the fact that they took advantage of others when they had the opportunity to do that, to gain more for themselves, I believe is what it was. And so they didn't show the mercy that God would have had them. Verse 15, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than themselves." Today we would say that they went into missionary work. They were involved in missionary work. They went out to bring others into their numbers. But again, their concern was not the salvation of people as much as it was to bring more into their numbers and make more like themselves. And Jesus said that you make them worse because of that than yourselves. You make them twofold the child of the hell, because you're not doing it for the right reasons. But they were active in mission work. False motives is I believe what they had. The Pharisees had also lost sight of the true purpose of the Sabbath. We don't find that in these verses here, but the Sabbath was an institution that was made for the benefit of a man, and we know that they had developed several hundred restrictions regarding the Sabbath, and they blamed Jesus for healing people on the Sabbath, and blamed him for being a sinner because of that. They criticized him. He broke their Sabbath laws by healing the sick and doing good on the Sabbath day. It was another one of the things that they blamed Jesus for. Verse 16, he says, "Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear in the temple, it is nothing, but whoso shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold?" Again, we see that their attitude was to receive the praise of individuals around them. They had plenty of money, and it meant a lot to them. In fact, over in verse 23, we see that he condemned them because they did tithe, they did give, they gave, they had money, and they did that to get people to think well of them. And he tells them in verse 23 that what they done is that they done this instead of the weightier matters that they should have been concerned about, that of judgment and mercy and faith, which we would say were conditions of the heart again. Judgment and mercy and faith is inward holiness of the heart is what it is. It's a product of the heart that is right. It's what God wants. People who are concerned and people who are merciful and people who have faith and act upon faith. But here was a group of people who had everything else right, but their hearts were not right. In verse 27, he condemns them. He simply comes out and tells them that they're hypocrites. "For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness." They appear to be outwardly righteous, we might say. Yet Jesus said that they were filthy. They shone like washed tombs, but he said they were full of dead man's bones. Jesus had said at one place, he said, "They draw nigh to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." I believe this is what he was trying to tell them here. We also see that they placed their preferences as ahead of God's word. It says that they were teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The Pharisees had so many of their own laws, their own traditions, that they placed equal to God's law and used them to manipulate the law of Moses to their own advantage, is what they done with their laws. And so as we look at all that, I'm trying to help you to see that what Jesus was condemning them for was their hypocrisy, the fact that they weren't the kind of people that they claimed they were. And Jesus could see that. You see, by their self-exaltation, the Pharisees had shut themselves off from that healing balm that Christ offers to all mankind. They had shut themselves off to being workable, to the potter that Brother Luke talked about in the devotions. It wasn't possible for God to work in their hearts because of that. Because you see, it is only as men really open themselves up and take a real, honest, true, inward look into their lives and are honest about what is there, and if there is faults and failures and sin in their lives, it needs to be repented of, because Jesus sees right into that. We know, of course, that the final error of the Pharisees was their rejection of Jesus as the Messiah. They resisted, they opposed him, and criticized him and plotted against him, and finally had him put to death is what they did. They refused to accept his help into their lives. So the question is today, as we ponder that, could there be, are there Pharisees today? Are there Pharisees? If we were to ask to describe the Pharisees in the New Testament, what are the first thoughts that would come to our mind? One of the things that the Pharisees did, the Pharisees spent a lot of time talking among themselves about matters that were of little importance, but they made them big importance. And some of that would have been in place, would have been all right, if they would have had some other things in place first, if they would have had the things that God was concerned about, if their hearts would have been right. You see, tonight, I do believe that God is looking for works from us. But our works should be a product of our faith. We don't believe in a works religion, and that's exactly what they were doing. We believe that works should be because of what has taken place in our hearts and because of the love for God and for the love for fellow men in our hearts. And somehow they had that all backwards. Well, I would like to suggest tonight that hypocrisy is not just that limited in scope, that it's just the little nitpicking, which we know that they were doing that. It's not that limited in scope that it's just doing things to be noticed, like we saw the mistakes that the Pharisees made. Yes, those were they were results of hypocrisy. But I believe tonight that there's some other things that can come into our lives. In fact, I believe tonight that any non-compliance to God's commandments. You see, Jesus said that we're to be doers of the word, not hearers only. The Pharisees heard a lot. They understood a lot. But there was a lot that they didn't do. And tonight, I believe that can be a challenge for us. I believe tonight that any non-compliance to God's word, God's commands, puts us under a cloak of a religious, whatever you want to call it, puts us right into the camp, we might say, where the Pharisees were. The Bible says that to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And the Pharisees knew plenty. They knew what to do, but they failed to do it. And so tonight, it can come very close to us, I believe. I think one of the things that we must do is ask ourselves, are we doing everything that we know from God's word, that we study and we understand? I understand tonight that there are things that maybe we don't fully understand, and we may miss some things because of that. But we are a part of a church who believes in the Bible and believes in the principles of God's word, and who endeavors to maintain, and we are agreeing tonight that we want to support that. And by doing that, we're saying that we want to be. This is where we want to be. This is what we believe, and we cast our lot here. The second thing that I thought about, I believe that if our profession of Christian faith, we keep edging closer and closer to the world's value system. And we might say, if we readily embrace worldly standards of conduct and things that the world brings into our lives, and we don't consider and we don't compare it with God's word, I believe it's a part of just etching away from God's word and etching closer to the world. And I believe tonight that that when those things start to happen, there can be reason for us to start wondering about a person's faith. You see, James summed it up like this. He said, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." And so tonight, if we're not drawing some lines, if we don't have some places of conviction that we say, no, we're just not going to go there, and this is where we're going to be, and this is what we're going to do, I believe that we can be those people who simply are itching closer to the world, as it were. I talked about the fact that the Pharisees did pay too much attention to minor details. Did they or did they not? Perhaps they did. But tonight God wants us to pay attention to details. We can come so far away from that we don't pay attention to details, and that we neglect the finer details. We can become so preoccupied with finer details that we forget the weightier matters, like they did. But we can also go on the other side of the fence, as it were, where we can say, "Lord, Lord," and we can profess to have the weightier matters and care about the weightier matters, and we don't have the works. We forget the details. And so there needs to be that balance. In other words, I believe tonight that we must be a people who, when we think about the weightier matters, we must be a people who are willing to forbear, forgive, not harbor those grudges, those ill will, those bitter thoughts that want to get the best of our hearts and so on. We dare not lose sight of the great moral principles and get bogged down with trivial little things that we let eat away in our hearts and in our lives. Turn with me back to James chapter 1. James has some more to say about the idea of not just hearing. In verse 21 of chapter 1, James says this: "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Here James is saying the same thing that Jesus said is what happened to the scribes and the Pharisees. They understood and they knew, but they didn't do. And finally, they deceived themselves. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." And then he goes on to say this in the next two verses. Yet he says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." That sounds quite different than what the Pharisees were doing. Not the Pharisees were taking advantage of widows for their own gain, is what they were doing, because they wanted more. James is telling us that true religion, pure religion, is to care about them, is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And he says it's to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Tonight, let's be those people who take verse 25 to heart. A people who study God's word, a people who apply it to our life, a people who continue in the word of God, a people who do the work of the principles of God's word. And Jesus promised that this man shall be blessed.